I've attended FinCon, the conference for peeps in the personal finance space, since 2012. I initially heard about it 2 weeks before it was hosted in Denver that year. I was broke, depressed, and honestly, I was just so frustrated all the time about my financial life. And the only thing at that time that really picked up my spirits was reading personal finance blogs, because at that time, the story-related content that people were doing in that space was so inspiring, so relatable, so riveting that I just couldn't get enough. But like, I was always reading those blog posts. Then I discovered that a conference called FinCon would be hosted in Denver that year, and it was only $100. Honestly, I really didn't have the money at that time. Like, I was so broke, but I decided that I would attend because all of my blogging idols would be there. Like, I couldn't believe that the people whose lives I felt like I had a window into, like that they were letting me into their life by sharing their story, they were going to be in my town. And they were showing up in 2 weeks, and I wanted to fangirl all over them. So I had to figure it out, and I had to make them, like, I had to find that $100 because that was a lot of money to me then. And I found that money. And I also discovered that the venue was really close, like I could walk there, and the ticket included food. So I was gonna go. Like, there was no way I wouldn't go. So I side hustled so I could attend. And I'm so glad I did, because that one experience would change my life in ways that I can't even begin to fathom 8 years later. In the 8 years since I first attended that first FinCon in 2012 in Denver, excuse me, in Denver, my voice kind of faded out there. It went from 200 people to now I think it was around 3,000 in 2019. In terms of my own life, I've paid off over $60,000 in debt, become an entrepreneur. I've hosted my own personal finance related event called Money on the Mountain. And really, all of that was a direct result of attending that first FinCon event, the connections that I made, and the knowledge that I learned as a result of being in that space and community. So, in today's episode, I thought I would share my thoughts on if you should go to FinCon. Listen on. To get to the show notes, make sure you go to michelleismoneyhungry.com/should-you-go-to-FinCon. Again, it's michelleismoneyhungry.com/should-you-go-to-FinCon. I will also link to my Crush the Conference free 1 hour webinar in the show notes. So definitely. I actually have a 1 hour webinar that talks a little more in depth about certain things that you should consider as a strategy before you actually attend FinCon if you decide to do that. Before we get deeper into this episode, here's my FinCon street cred. Yeah, there's such a thing. So I was the head of Colorado FinCon for 5 years and grew that community pretty significantly. We're still flaky, but we're a big group. I attended the Denver, St. Louis, New Orleans, Charlotte, San Diego, and Dallas events. I missed Orlando and Washington, D.C. I do plan on attending the 2020 event that's hosted in Long Beach, California this year. So at the time I'm recording this, it's 2020. I've also spoken on panels at, I think, two of the events. Don't ask me which ones because I won't be able to remember because it's been years of attending. So I'm very invested in this community and I really love seeing all that it does. And I decided that it was time to kind of address the should I go to FinCon question, because I'm seeing it come up. I see it come up at, you know, every year. And I actually think that people are confused by the type of conference FinCon currently is as of 2020. So I want to, you know, address that. So what kind of conference is FinCon? In its current iteration, FinCon is a conference that helps personal finance influencers learn how to market, engage, connect, grow, and monetize the content that they are creating for their individual communities. When I first started attending FinCon in 2020, there was a lot of personal finance related community. Like, people were still actively talking about paying off debt, personal finance journeys, so on and so forth, like the actual attendees. And over the years, many of the attendees' lives changed as a result of the actions that they took to better their finances and their financial life. So when I first started going, it was not unusual at all to have very specific personal finance related content to better your own money. However, the attendees' lives have changed. Like, the people who first started going, their lives changed because they were able to apply all that information to better their finances, and their finances as a result got better. Currently, the content for FinCon has a marketing focus. Again, this is my opinion, but currently the focus of the content is marketing. And that's kind of dictated by the current attendees' needs and requests. So if you're going to FinCon for a conference that focuses heavily on personal finance related sessions, like you're looking for sessions all about personal finance, like content that addresses that, this is not the conference for you. Instead, the following conferences and events would be a better fit. Lola Retreat, which is on hiatus until 2021. That's for women and money. Sense Positive is for women in the financial independence retire early space. Fantastic event. Camp FI, about personal finance specific to FIRE. Money on the Mountain, which is also on hiatus until late spring 2021. That is actually my personal finance event specific for women who are financially single. It does not mean their romantic life is single. It means their money is single. The Financial Freedom Summit, actually hosted by Grant Sabatier. I've actually included a link to his webinar as well. There's a free Financial Freedom Summit webinar that he hosted, so you can watch that. Or the Elevate Influencer Conference. So this one's awesome. I'm so excited to be a part of this as an attendee and just a supporter. It is hosted by Sandy Smith, and it's created with personal finance influencers of color in mind. So if you're a POC and you're like, well, should I go to FinCon or should I go to Elevate? I would say, if you can, to attend both, because the conferences do slightly different things. So FinCon will be specifically talking all things marketing and connecting you with huge numbers of people in the personal finance space, influencer space. Elevate is going to be basically all POCs in that space. And then we also will have a day, I believe, where we talk money as it relates to the POC community. That could be if you're Latinx, African American, so on and so forth. So just to give you some clarity on that. FinCon is huge. How do you even begin to manage the size? So for me, every time I attend FinCon, it feels like a family reunion. Partly because I've been attending for so long. But I do have very specific strategies that I use to make larger events feel small. You can watch my free webinar, Crush the Conference FinCon Edition, to kind of learn what all those tips and tricks are. There's a link to that in the show notes, but I'm going to give you some tips here. So the first tip is begin connecting with people in the FinCon community now. Show up at the conference with people that you've had conversations with already and would like to meet in person. That immediately makes your event smaller. Tip number two, start attending FinCon local meetups ASAP. So if there are FinCon people in your community, your immediate community, meet them now. Why are you waiting? Like, why are you putting all the pressure on that event, those 4 days? Like, it's just too much. So start meeting people now. Go to the meetups. Be intentional about your FinCon experience. That's tip number three. Tip number four is to be helpful when you can. So sometimes community members will ask questions or need help with something that could come up in one of the numerous FinCon specific groups. Be that person to help them out. I always remember when people help me out. So it's a nice thing to do, and people remember who you are and they'll want to meet you because they'll appreciate you. Tip number five, this seems random, but it's so good. Hang out in the hotel foyer. So I'm being really serious, but some of the best connections and conversations that I have at every single FinCon happen around 2 a.m. in the hotel foyer. Here's a bonus tip. Coffee meetups, jogging in the morning with a small group, yoga hangouts, karaoke, happy hours, etc. You should be attending interest-based meetups such as communities focused on religion, sexual orientation, regions where you live, basically. So like all the Australians who come over, they actually have a big meetup so they can kind of connect because Australia is a huge country. So it's a good time for them to all meet because they live in different parts of Australia, culture, ethnicity, etc. Those are the events that make a large event like FinCon small. One of the best times I ever had actually was at FinCon San Diego when I went surfing with about 20 people. And it was so much fun. Oh my God, it was so much fun. It's like to this day, one of the best events that I attended at a FinCon. So if there's something like that, the opportunity to go surfing, hiking, whatever, do it, especially if it's something that you would normally want to do. Like, do it. It's so much fun, and that makes the event smaller. By the way, I am an extrovert, but I'm an only child extrovert. And what that means is there's just a point in the day when I'm just over being around people where I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go to the pool. I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to chill out. Like, I need to get away. And so for me, I don't want to be on the entire time that I'm there. So I take breaks. So that would be the other piece too. Like, to make it smaller, sometimes you just have to get away. Is it worth going to FinCon? In a word, yes. But let me explain in detail why. You're in rooms with people who are all in alignment with your vision and focus. Like, everyone that you encounter is focused in the same way. Do you know how rare that is? So awesome. It's very empowering to be in a room of people where all of you guys want to do the same thing, which is empower other people. So that's important because in your everyday life, that may not be the case. So even though my friends and family love me and support what I do, my mom listened to my podcast for the first time in 2020. I've been running that podcast for 3 or 4 years now, and she just listened to it this year. So it's not because she didn't support it. She didn't get what I was doing. And she thought it was awesome, by the way. You get to build connections with brands and influencers that you would like to collaborate or do business with. So that is a huge reason why you should be going. You can connect directly with course creators for courses that either you've purchased or might be considering purchasing, such as my Make Money with eBooks course, Kayla Sloan's 10K VA. She has a course where she helps virtual assistants grow their virtual assistant businesses. Monica Louie's Flourish with Facebook Ads, Sandy Smith's Small Business Incubator. Holly and Greg Johnson have two different courses. They have Earn More Blogging or Earn More Writing. Michelle Schroeder-Gardner of Making Sense of Sense fame has her Make Money with Affiliates course. She's not always at these events, but she may be there, and she's cool to connect with. And Tila Holcomb's Trade Your 9-to-5. Like, it is so cool to meet with the people who are growing these courses and teaching people. So if they're there, it's a great time to have a conversation with them to make sure that they're the right people to teach you. You get to connect directly with people who can help you make money. So you can connect with clients who could end up purchasing your courses, books, or coaching, your freelance writing skills. So you can meet with editors who are looking for writers, your virtual assistant services, social media management services, marketing services, editing services, whether it's podcast, blog, or writing services where you're editing that type of content. You can connect with people who can help you grow your page views, get you on podcasts, create your first course, or you can find people who would like to be in a mastermind group with you. The last time I attended FinCon, I made an extra $10,000 in 3 months after the event. So basically, I picked up enough clients I didn't even pick up that many clients, but they had pretty lucrative work. And I ended up making $10,000 within about 3 months after the event. That was pretty good for me at that time. That'd be good for me now. Like, that's awesome. And then also, the people that you meet at FinCon may become potential supporters of your future projects. Money on the Mountain, my in-person retreat, was really expensive to host, but a number of amazing FinCon people sponsored the event publicly and privately, people whose names you would recognize. And I look forward to supporting their future projects too. Now, it's come up that people feel like FinCon and other events like this are expensive. Well, I think that that's a valid concern, but sooner or later, when you're purchasing conference attendance or courses or that kind of thing, you're going to have to put some money out. So I wanted to share my thoughts on how you can afford to attend FinCon. So again, attending conferences or events that require you to fly from one state or country to another, not be at work, stay in some type of accommodation for a minimum number of days, and have to pay for food as well, that can get expensive. So here are my thoughts on how you can afford it and other events similar to FinCon. Quite honestly, these are probably events that you should be attending, because if you're considering it, you might be at a crossroads in your business or in your way of thinking or whatever. And you're like, my attending this thing could move me further ahead in such and such way. So the earlier you decide to go, the cheaper the ticket. This is just pretty straightforward. Ticket prices always go up. So the closer it gets to the event, the more it's going to cost. However, you should, if for some reason you're deciding closer to the event, look to see if there are people selling their tickets that you can purchase those tickets from them. You might have to pay a small fee to transfer it from the first person to you, but it still might be significantly cheaper than the initial ticket cost. Fly a low-cost carrier. So I grew up flying Frontier, because Frontier is based out of Denver, or was at the time that I was a little kid. So I always fly Frontier, totally used to it, doesn't make a difference to me. And it saves me a lot of money on flight costs. Some people will travel hack so that they don't have to pay for the flight fee. Do what you have to do, like flight cost. Do what you have to do. I do end up checking luggage for FinCon just because of all of the swag. Like, it's insane how much amazing stuff you leave with. There are people that I know who get their next 2 years worth of t-shirts because of all the t-shirts there. There was 1 year where there was a yoga mat. Like, it's insane. All the books that you can come back with. So I would say that you do need to be aware of the amount of luggage that you need, because if you want to bring swag back with you, you're going to need the luggage for it. Room with other people. I'm a great roomie at FinCon because I'm never in the room. I'm always gone because there's so much to do. Stay in an Airbnb, friend's place, hostel. If the choice is to not attend or economize and stay at a hostel, stay at a hostel. You will hear people say it's always better to stay at the conference hotel, and that is true. But if the choice is go and stay in a hostel versus not go, stay in the hostel and you'll make it work. That's just what you have to do. Side hustle and use that money to pay for the event. Work your numbers for everything, add 20% to those numbers, and then begin stashing away the cash to attend. Apply for scholarships. Every year that I've attended FinCon, there's been some kind of scholarship. Do know that it's very competitive because there's so many people attending, but throw your name in there and see what happens. Volunteer tickets. So there are opportunities to be a full-time volunteer at the event. You're basically working. One thing I would say is this could be a great opportunity to get to know the team, but you may have a slightly different experience because you're working the event versus being a full attendee. There's not a good or bad with it, but it's just something to consider. And then also apply to be a speaker and bring your A game. So this changes over time. I think at this time, speakers still get their tickets comped. So if that's the case and you know you have something that you could really bring to the event, pitch that talk. Should you go to FinCon for your ideal client avatar? Well, it depends. So your ideal client avatar, podcast listener, vlog watcher, may or may not be in attendance at FinCon. If you're going to any conference with that focus, spend some time doing the following: looking at who actually attends the event, asking yourself what they're wanting from you and from the event itself. Is this the right space to connect with them? And if your avatar is at FinCon, host an unofficial meetup and meet with a group of them. I plan on doing this for anyone interested in Make Money with eBooks, or if they've already purchased Make Money with eBooks, or if they're interested in the Brand Building Lab, which is my group coaching program to help people get their stuff done. Timing. I plan on being in Long Beach at least for a week. Almost every time I attend a FinCon event, I go for the entire week. Why? Well, I've learned the hard way that the official 4 days of FinCon just is not enough to get all of the things done that I'm trying to do. In particular, all of the networking that I'm trying to do. A lot of people don't realize that some of the long-term attendees tend to attend these events for the entire week, because they're connecting with a lot of people who are really good friends of theirs. And also there's a lot less pressure to connect with someone that arrives on a Monday or Tuesday versus on Thursday. So there are people that I really want to meet, but maybe they have, like, they may be people that I actually know and I've known them for years, but they are running communities now. And so when they're at FinCon, they're meeting their community and they may not necessarily have time to meet with me one-on-one during that week of the conference. So we meet prior to the conference and make sure that we can connect and connect when they're there. So that's something to think about. In fact, my current plan is to arrive in Long Beach on Monday of that week, September 28th, 2020. If at all possible, I would say arrive one day prior to FinCon or early the morning of the first day of the event and leave on Sunday. Why? Again, you can connect in a very low-key way with some really well-known influencers who typically arrive early, and then they'll be crazy busy during the rest of the event. And then why leave Sunday? Well, because the closing event is always so much fun. It's painful to me how many people miss out on the closing party, and then they hear about how great it is, and they're like, wow, I left on Saturday. Unless you've got kids who need you to be back, or a spouse is weird about you being gone, stay until like mid morning Sunday. Really, just have the full experience if at all possible. There you have it. My thoughts on should you go to FinCon. Don't forget to grab my Crush the Conference FinCon free webinar with more insight, ideas, etc. I hope you kick butt at the next FinCon, and I look forward to seeing you there. If you enjoyed the show, please make sure to like and subscribe.